so-called friendly frontier at Albany. That sort of history is what inspired it, and particular incidents where I saw in the archival stuff, Noongar people being just so talented and confident and compassionate. That was the juice of the book. And at the same time, I was doing quite a lot of Noongar language regeneration work. And in fact, we've got a couple of books coming out pretty soon, about now, to do with that project. And those stories were inspiring to see. Again, in those stories, I saw Noongar protagonists who were very confident. In fact, postmodern, I thought. Yeah, so that's where the story started from, looking at those sort of incidents and trying to build them up.
When you accepted the award, you said you would do anything to move towards the possibility of grafting our nation state to the stories of many Indigenous peoples. Why do you want to do that so much?
Look, I don't take anything at face value that I say in a public occasion. It's all those nerves again. But I am really interested in that possibility. I think it's a long way off, mind you, that you can graft contemporary Australia onto Indigenous roots. And where this story is coming from, it's South Coast WA. That's a way of stitching together the past and the future. And that really interests me, that sort of thing, that we might, and particularly the role of Noongar language in doing that, in that part of the world, really excites me, because it means the power relationships will be different. It puts Noongar people and culture at the centre of our contemporary society. And I think that sort of stuff's really important. We've got a unique possibility, unique in the whole world, to do something like that. And yeah, that excites me.
So it's not only about giving Noongar people a voice. When people speak in their own language, from what you've said to me before, do you think it's about not only speaking in that voice, but thinking in that voice?
I think working with, say, Noongar language opens up all sorts of other conceptual possibilities for how we can look at who we are collectively and where we live. And I think the whole business of an Indigenous language, you know, Noongar culture is one of the longest continuing ones, and Noongar language speaks from that part of the world, this part of the world, I should say, if I was there. I'm in Melbourne at the moment. Noongar language, the sound is of that part of the world, where in a way that no other sound is. And it sounds sort of mumbo-jumbo-ish, but the idea of being an instrument for that language, which represents the spirit of that place, you know, it's very, very special, I think.
You also said you weren't sure why the book, That Dead Man Dances, struck such a chord with people. I've got a couple of ideas, having read the book a couple of times myself and spoken to people who've also read it. And I don't want to give too much away what happens in the story, but the central character, Wabalangi, he's a person who wants to let you into his mind, really, and he wants to share. And it's almost like that character is an attempt to close the divide between white people and Noongars and Wedjalas and Noongars. And it's not just his way of thinking that you get insight into, but it's also his way of experiencing the world. So I think that's what's incredibly compelling for people, is especially for people who want to understand Noongar culture, they get to kind of be not just in that mind, but in that that point of view for the entirety of the book.
Yeah, no, that could be what's going on. I think, it's a presentation of that sort of worldview, that perspective. Of course, it's only a story, so it's an impression of that worldview. And I think what you can do in a book, and what I tried to do with this one, and I'm sorry if this sounds so abstract, but is you create a narrative sensibility, which is the sort of consciousness of the story. And that requires a writer, but also a reader. And I think, you know, novels are quite intimate art forms that a reader's going to have to spend some hours in the book. And so what I try and do with this particular story is to make that sharing as real as I can. And that's the sensibility, as I said, the narrative sensibility of the story is something that a reader and writer can share one at a time. So if you come away from the story with thinking that this is a Noongar worldview that you're accessing through the novel, I think that's good. I'm pleased about that. And maybe, as you say, that is part of why this novel's working, but I'm not the expert on it.
I think from what people have said to me is that people have an interest in the culture and they want to understand, but they're incredibly afraid of when they meet a Noongar person of asking the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing.
And that's interesting. Yeah.
And this book is a way of them being able to be in that world and not make any mistakes.
Yeah, no, that's interesting to hear that perspective. One of the things recently, as you might know, I work at Curtin University and we've set up a unit called Indigenous Culture and Health, which is compulsory for all first-year students, and we in the health faculty. And we use, it's all Aboriginal lecturers, they've been filmed, but one of them, Dallas Yaron, who's a health worker at Royal Perth Hospital, I put to her, what would you like all these students, these 2,000 students this year, to take away from your lecture or from this course? And she said, tell them not to be scared, Kim. I don't want them to be frightened. And that's something you were saying just a moment ago, that a lot of people have that attitude. It's a little bit surprising to me, and certainly unfounded. It's probably people don't know enough Noongar people, because I think Noongar culture and I think Noongar people, by and large, are very compassionate and inclusive.
Well, I think that's the case, certainly in my experience, but I think it's just the way society has developed and the divide that was created when in European settlement, really.
And we don't mix and mingle enough.
Exactly. So just going back to the publications that you mentioned will be coming out shortly about Noongar language, can you tell us what they're called and where we can expect to find them?
UWA Press is who's publishing them. One of them's called Noongar Mambara Bakich, which is a Noongar person and a spirit creature fighting. The other one is Marmung, which is whale. We're launching them in Albany on September 16, in fact, so they should be available like from about now, pretty soon, I think.
Well, maybe you can drop in when you're here.
Yeah.
<All right. laughs> I'll hold you to that. Thanks very much for joining us. I know you're very busy this morning, Kim, and again, congratulations.
Thanks, Bridget. See you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.